Hello, this is Joe McGee. You know, we've been doing seminars across the country for years. Seminars on marriage, parenting, men, money, and family. We want to encourage you to email us and let us know if this podcast has helped you. Or maybe you have joined us live at one of our seminars. If you have a testimony, you just want to tell us what God's doing in your life, please email us at mail@joemcgeeministries.com, or you can contact us through our website, joemcgeeministries.com. There you will find helpful articles and tools to help you grow in God, your marriage, and your family. I love you guys, and we hope you enjoy the podcast.
I tell my kids, when you go through life, when you get to heaven, and you sit among the heroes of faith around the supper table for 7 years, you better have a story. What you didn't like, well, I'm going to get to heaven, little heart. My daddy left my mother. My mother didn't love me. My teacher wouldn't pass it. My coach wouldn't pay me. My wife left me. My dog bit me.
Have a chicken leg. Because you're going to hear a lot of testimonies around that supper table. That's why it's going to take 7 years. What did you do in life?
I just tried to get through.
Because that's what the world's conditioning us to do by the time we're 18. What are you trying to do? Just get through.
Just get accepted. And just get a job and don't die early.
Well, that's not much. God's looking for heroes of faith. God's looking for somebody to show himself strong in. Now listen to this. These are my 8 points. I like this. Just give you this. Number one, we are inspired by people who face their fears and chase their dreams. Barnes & Noble does a great business selling books like this. You go to their section on the biographies. And the nonfiction section, fiction section, kind of a waste of time. They didn't do it. Somebody made it up and it didn't happen. Just a thought. What is that? It's not true. Well, I might want to read something that's true. Revelation 12, you overcome by the blood of the Lamb, the word of your testimony. You don't have a testimony unless there was a test. God's testing us all the time. He's not trying to make us look stupid or fail. He's trying to give us an opportunity to get a testimony. Overcome, more than a conqueror, you know, do something big. But if we miss that, if we miss that part of using our faith and believing God, every time something bad happens, we blame God. Well, it was an act of God. I guess God just wanted this to happen because God's all powerful. I teach it every time I come. God's not in charge of anything. He made the planet. He gave it to Adam. Adam gave it away. God's not allowed down here. That's why the only way God could come down here was to be born down here. He wasn't allowed here. A human lost it. A human had to get it night, silent night, holy night. We through kings of Orient are. It's the Christmas story. A human lost it. A human had to get it back. If Jesus did anything as God, though he was God, Jesus is the second member of the Godhead. Jesus is the one that created the 93 billion known galaxies. Jesus is the one that holds it together by the power of his word. But he's in a human body. When he came as a man, who's in that human body? Creator of the universe. Where in that human body? You're kidding. But he cannot do anything as God. If he does, he cheated. A man lost it. A man's got to get it back. If Jesus did anything as God, he cheated. And the devil knows that's not legal. That's why Jesus said, the things I do, you'll do. I'm going to show you how to do them. How'd you do it? By faith, just like you. I prayed, just like you. I didn't do anything you're not going to have to do. And you'll do the same and even greater things than these. So all of a sudden, I love reading books about people who overcame great odds. I called the Heroes of Faith. I did with my high school students years ago about how, you know, people like Thomas Edison got kicked out of the fourth grade. His fourth grade teacher told him he was too stupid to learn anything. He's got over 1,000 patents to his name. Abraham Lincoln only went to 1 year of school. He went to the fourth grade. It's the only school he went to. Put himself through law school with a fourth grade education. Became president, saved our nation. Everybody you met's done something and faced some kind of hell. Because I'm only in churches, it gets old after a while. We just don't understand why this happened. And why did this happen? Well, shut your face up. Doesn't matter why it happened. Your job's to fix it. Your job's to storm the gates of hell and fix hell, not thumbsuck about it. You know? I mean, we've done it. We built our first church just like we built our first, the first edition of our church, been there at Grace. And it's like, oh my God, it monsooned for a week. It leaked under the walls. It wasn't just muddy. Water's coming under our walls. The wall filled up. The gutter didn't work right. It filled the walls up and the sheetrock bust like Hoover Dam. Like, praise God. We're going to build a new building and the devil just tore the snot out of this one. Praise God. We tried to go forward. We backed up 3 steps. You know, well, what we realized was a stupid gutter. We needed to fix it.
And the reason the water came out of the wall, we had the wrong level on the dirt outside. Had it on monsoon, we'd have built another building right on top of that. We'd have flooded everything. So God said, hey, you got some problems you don't know about, so I'm going to flood it and show you. I really love you. We got it. It got all paid for and we fixed it. So anyhow, I realized something. I love to read about people that overcome stuff. Because if you don't, you'll think you're the only one. You just don't know what I've been through. Now, please don't take this wrong. Denise gets so mad when I say this. I'll be honest with you, people really don't care what you've been through. They don't. They're going through their own stuff. Tests, trials come to everybody. The devil's no respecter of persons. Do you understand it? Well, you just don't know. You don't know what they've been through. They're just not gum flapping about it. You understand it? So keep your mouth shut, smile real big, and go be a blessing, sow some seed. I like this. Number two, normal people don't chase lions. Normal people don't chase lions. I mean, I said it. Frank, what are you going to do today? I don't go find me a lion and chase it. You want to go with me? No, I got to go home mow some grass. I won't go there. So why did he do that? Why would anybody? You got to think, this was a normal person. His name's Mitchell. What'd you do? Chase me a lion. What for? Why would you do that? Are you stupid? You got nothing else going on? I'm looking for a resume. So if I kill me a lion, you're going to know about it. God sought recording for generations. Kill me a lion. God said, I'm going to write that one down. Put that one in the book. That story's going in the book. Number three, God is in the resume building business. I don't care what kind of hell you're going through this morning. Everybody's going through something this morning. Everybody's sitting here is going through something. God's trying to build your resume. Now, it depends on how you handle it, so whether you get one or not. Because most people want to cry. Listen, people, we've all been through hell. I've told you the stories. I've had drunk drivers hit my baby's head on after us in the emergency room. Corey was 18 months old when she started dying of spinal meningitis, intensive care for 10 days, dying. My doctor, spirit filled, she's dying. Like, what did I do? I didn't do nothing. There's a devil. He hates everybody, including little babies. Devil doesn't play fair. What's your job? Be more than a conqueror and overcomer. That's why I got a shield of faith and the sword of the spirit. What do you get to do? I get to whip hell. I'm a hell whipping machine. That's what I do. So every time you get a bad report, the first thing the devil wants you to do is get and turn in. What? Doesn't matter. Get up and do something. We need somebody that wants to run down the hill and kill a big old 10-foot, 2-inch giant, take his head off. That got him a lot of dates that night. I guarantee you the women were sucking lips off David's face by sundown. They were singing songs. Saul's killed his thousands. David's killed his 10,000. He didn't kill 10,000. He killed one big ugly guy. They got him a good job. Number four, God-given opportunities are disguised as man-eating lions. I got a good friend of mine just got diagnosed with cancer. He whipped it twice. He's looking at it a third time. What are you going to do? Get to whip it again. You're going to get to whip it again. So we were just up there with him at Christmas time. It's like, and you can tell it was messing with him. Great guy, man of faith. It was messing with him. Like, and we've whipped it twice. It was gone. It's been gone. Perfect. All of a sudden it's back. What are you going to do? Well, you get to do it again. Do what again? Not like, why did it come back? Well, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. We're not going to do a survey. Well, let's take a survey. Why do you think it came back? Let's just find. Why do you think, even if you get the answer, what's that going to do? You still got to get rid of it. It doesn't matter why it came back. You still got to get rid of it. Well, we just got the report. It's down to about 2%. It's almost gone. He's whipped it again. What'd you do? I whipped it 3 times. You know, if you bat 333, they put you in the Hall of Fame. That means you struck out 2/3 of the time. You ever been to Baseball Hall of Fame? The guys that are in there struck out 2/3 of the time. How'd you get here? I struck out 2/3 of the time. They think I'm special. Number five, Benaiah was chasing a position in David's administration. He wasn't crazy. We ain't going to kill this lion. I need a resume, and I don't have anything else in front of me. I'll kill this thing, and it'll make me famous. Number six, how we react when we encounter our lions will determine our destiny. What are you going to do? You know, Corey's dying in the hospital. I'm sitting there. What do you know? Jesus heals. Are you sure? Yeah, I just got out of Bible school. By Jesus' stripes, we were healed. God is not only Jehovah Jireh, my provider, he's Jehovah Rapha, my healer. By his stripes, I was healed. We've been redeemed from the curse of the law, which is poverty, sickness, and death. What's going on? My baby's sick and she's dying. What do you know? I've been redeemed from that. What's going on? There's a devil. He doesn't play fair. Why did it happen? Don't have a clue and don't care. If there's something I need to change, God will let me know right now. I'm going to say what God says. How do you whip the devil? Somebody's got to speak the word of God. When Jesus faced hell, he talked to it. He spoke to the mountain. He spoke to the wave. He spoke to the devil. He spoke to the dead person. He speaks not about it, to it. Here's what God says. He whipped the devil 3 times in the wilderness. It is written, it is written, it is written. So for 10 days, all we need to do is say what God says. What's going to happen? My baby's going to live and not die. She's got the ear of the learner when they said she's dead. She's got the mind of Christ when they said she's mentally retarded. Like I said, she runs my publishing company today down here in Franklin. She can hear you all the way across the room. She hears real good. For 10 days, we looked at hell. Why? I don't know, and I don't care. I really don't. All I did is, we're going to overcome this. Every time something happens, what the devil wants to do is, well, you don't fight it. You just want to worry about it, think about it, gun fluff. No, we got to figure out what's God said about this. There's got to be some scripture on this. Let's fight it. The redeemed of the Lord are going to say so. Let the weak say I'm strong. Let the poor say I'm rich. We're going to start saying something. I love this story because this guy on purpose went to get himself a resume. What do you need? A job. How are you going to get one? I need a resume. What are you going to do? I don't know. And he saw a lion. I guarantee he wasn't thinking. He didn't get up thinking to kill a lion that day. He just saw one. What is that? That's an opportunity. That lion thought, this guy's whack. And he got the lion. And God saw fit to put it in. Now look at this. I'll give you 2 more. Number 7 in his book, If Only, Dr. Neil made, this is a great book, If Only, because people go through life. There's 2 kinds of regret in life. Regrets of action, regrets of inaction. Every one of us in here this morning has done something incredibly stupid. You know, because we got flesh. You ever sinned and just done something stupid? Man, that was stupid. What do you do about sin? The only thing you can do is repent. You can repent. That's all you can do. What'd you do? Man, Father, that was stupid. You do that? Yes, I did. Did you plan to do it? I'll be honest with you, I did pre-think it. You did it anyhow? How's it working out for you? Not too good. So sins of action I can repent of and get that off of me. God will not only forgive me and cleanse me, he'll take my sins and bury them in the depths of the sea. There'll be no record of my sin in heaven. God redeems me by the blood of his son. I am clean. How often? Well, 1 John 1:9, Apostle John said, if a believer says they don't sin, they're a liar. A Christian who says they don't sin, that's a liar. Because you and I are still growing in his grace and in his knowledge. The righteous fall 7 times a day, we get back up. We're not the perfect people, we're the getting back up people. You've got to learn to repent quick and forgive quick. Repent quick, forgive. But I tell so many people, I just can't stop. I just can't keep doing it. Shut your face up. God says you can. God says he can grow you up. He can redeem you from this. Give you victory over this. We're going to say what you're saying or we're going to say what God's saying. Let's go with what God's saying. We're going to get redeemed and cleansed and we're going to put this in the depths and you're going to be strong in the Lord and the power is mine. And we're going to get us a testimony out of this. So all of a sudden you go through the process and you realize, what are you going to do? I'm going to learn something. So we got the regret. I can get out of that. Here's the other kind of regret of action. It's the regret of inaction. Now one thing I loved about my family is they lived to be really, really old. So you sit around and you hear and the saddest stories are the regrets of inaction. You know, I remember back in 47, I could have done that. I could have gone out, and I could have played, and I could have done this. I love my dad. My dad was kind of my hero growing up. My father, coming out of Ducktown High School, was recruited by the University of Tennessee, the University of Georgia, Georgia Tech, and Vanderbilt to play football. He was a phenomenal football player. He'd score 5 and 7 touchdowns in a game. Nobody could catch. They called him Swivel Hips. He just was ruined. But he fell in love. Fell in love with my mom, redheaded Irish woman. And so they got married Christmas Eve of their senior year and didn't tell anybody. 2 months later, she got pregnant. Well, she's pregnant and they don't know that she's married. Well, she is married. So all of a sudden now she's got to tell, hey, we're actually, we're married. We just didn't tell anybody. And so he quit school and got a job with a survey company in the state of Tennessee. Didn't play football for anybody. I'm the result. Instead of a football scholarship, you're looking at me. So my dad just like, hot dog, what happened? Well, we have a regret of inaction. You could have waited to get married. You could have waited to get mom pregnant. You could have gone to college. Could have gone there for free, played a lot of football, and you know, who knows how much money you could have made. You know, it could have been something. Instead, you worked swing shift for 13 years, making barely over minimum wage, lived in a little 900 square foot rent house. My dad was happy, loved God, went to church every Sunday. Every Sunday. Paid his tithe. God blessed him. Retired really good, worked for DuPont, and he finally went back to night school 4 years, became an electrician. God blessed my father. But he had some real regrets. You know, I could have. Wouldn't you hate to grow to be 99 and sit around, you know, I could have. You go through life one time. You get 1 time to go through life. Do what God's asked you to do. You're married, you get 1 shot. You have kids, it's a 1 shot. What are we going to do?
Well, we're going to do real good. I've got today. Today's the day the Lord has made. I'm going to rejoice and be glad in it. I'm going to do something really good today. I'm going to leave people better than I find them. I'm going to do really good. What about tomorrow? Don't know about tomorrow. I'm taking care of today. Somewhere you got to get inside yourself where I'm going to do something with my life. Then the last, and I like, I wrote this. We can do nothing wrong and still do nothing right. We can do nothing wrong and still do nothing right. I've so pushed my kids because I love them. Went to the University of Tennessee for a year. They didn't kick me out. They just said I can never, ever come back. I love Tennessee, but I've got a letter from them saying I can never go back, ever. For legal reasons I don't go into, because I was a heathen back then. So, you know, I spent 7 years going to night school for what my daddy would have paid for free. And, you know, I could have gone to the University of Tennessee and had a piece of paper that said it on it, but I don't. I've told the story so many times. I went to Oral Roberts University and I finished the master's program in education. And so it's my last year, and I've actually taught a couple of the classes. And Dr. Jernigan brought me down and said, Joe, because I'm getting ready to get my master's. Joe, we can't find your bachelor's degree anywhere. Now, I'm teaching a class in the master's program for Dr. Don Petrie that started CBN. I'm teaching one of his classes. This is my last year. And they come in the middle, Joe, we can't find your bachelor's degree. I said, well, probably not. Where's it at? I said, I don't have one. Now, I'm not making this up. Guess what? And the doctor says, you got to have one. How'd you get in the master's program? They said I needed it. I just showed up, and my first class was Dr. Petrie, you know, and he had to go back to Columbia, Missouri, because he taught in Missouri at the University of Missouri. He asked me to take his first class, so I just stepped up and I taught my first class that I was in. I didn't go to the office to fill out any paperwork. I didn't think I needed to. You don't have a bachelor's? Huh? What do you got? I got a lot. I've spent 7 years in night school. Got all kinds of stuff. Well, bring your transcripts in. So I brought them in the next day. Now I'm finished up the master's program. So I bring, there's a stack of papers. And so he's going through it, about 30 minutes. And finally he said, can I ask you a question? I said, what? I said, what were you trying to become? I said, employed. I said, if they said I needed something, I went and took a class. Might have been trigonometry, calculus, gear ratios, electrical stuff. I took all kinds of leadership. I took all kinds of. Joe, none of this goes together. I said, I wasn't trying to make it go together. I was trying to get a raise. Trying to get a resume. And so Oral Roberts rolled all my master's onto my bachelor's to make me legal. So I do not have a piece of paper that says I have a master's degree. But I do. Taught two of the classes. I just can't prove it. Whatever you're going through this morning, God has a way out. There was a way out before it ever showed up in your life. God's trying to show off in your life. All he needs is you to trust him. You say, what am I going to do? I don't know, but you're his sheep. He's your shepherd. You'll hear his voice. He'll talk to you. He will order your steps, direct your paths. He'll guide you in all truth. He will show you things to come. He will work all things out to your good. I don't care how it happened. I don't care if it was your fault or wasn't your fault. God is real stinking good all the time. He wants to show off in you and get you a testimony. So whatever it is, there's an answer. So people say, how do I find it? I said, the greatest thing I can give you in closing this morning is this. God inhabits praise. Best thing you'll ever do is get your armpits open. What are you going to do? I don't know, but God does. Father, I'm just going to take a minute and thank you that I don't know what's going on, but you do. And you're going to work all things out to my good. And I just want to take a minute and just thank you and sing to you. You're so stinking good. You've blessed me. You order my steps, Father. You've saved me, redeemed me. I got my name written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. Father, you're so good. I just want to tell you how much I love you. And sing them a song. Make one up if you don't know one. God inhabits praise. If the devil's in your head and under your armpits, back him off by singing to God. You start singing to God, angels show up. A lot of wing flapping going on. Demons are run back to hell. I'm telling you. I've had more people testimony say, you know, I just started thanking God and I had a thought. I said, you know, that's how it happens. You start singing to God. It's Proverbs 16:3-9. Commit your works to God. God establishes your thoughts. You make a plan. God orders your steps. Commit your works to God. God establishes your thoughts. You make a plan. God orders your steps. You move, God moves. You move, God moves. You move, God moves. You don't move, God doesn't move. He won't cheat. It's like playing checkers. You move first. How?
Father, I just want to thank you. I don't know what's going on, but you do. I don't know what I'm going to do, but you do. I don't have an answer, but you do, Father. And I want to take a minute and just go ahead and thank you in advance that you're going to work all things out to my good. I'm going to come out of this thing smelling like a rose. When people ask me about the hope that's in me, 1 Peter 3, I'm going to tell it was your Son that saved me, redeemed me, filled me with the Holy Ghost, and delivered me. And you're going to get yourself a testimony. It's going to be a jubilee year if you let God. Now, I don't know what your lion is, and I don't know where the pit is, but you know, Goliath's not going to run from you. You're going to have to chase him. David chased Goliath. But Benaiah chased the lion. And I know how it is when people are in trouble. And I've been there. I've been there. We were in financial trouble, marriage trouble, and you run from it. Maybe it'll go away. It's not going to go away. It's going to get friends and get bigger. So the greatest thing you'll ever do is turn around and face what you're dealing with. Father, I'm not running anymore. I am the righteous of God, and the righteous as bold as a lion. The wicked are going to flee, and not me, Father. We're going to have ourselves a victory and get ourselves a testimony. You got to just start with your mouth by saying what God says. Amen. Hey, thanks for listening today. Be sure to join us Monday, Wednesday, and Friday to hear more of what God can do in your life. He's got a great future for you and your family, and we are here to help you get there. Make sure and go to our website, joemcgeeministries.com. We've got all sorts of materials, books, DVDs, you name it, all there to help you, your marriage, and your family succeed.